Willie Jackson's with us. Hey, Willie, te anakwe.
Morena, morena, Dale.
Are you moving your electorate office onto the marae, brother?
I'm already here, mate. I'm already here.
Can I see you across the way? Give us a wave.
No, I'm not actually in there at the moment. But
are you the? Is that a first? Do you know of any other Labor MPs who've had their electorate office on a marae?
Yeah, I'm actually not aware of any MPs, Labor or any party actually, who are on the marae. So that's why I'm really, really pleased to be at Waiate, part of our team. It's really. I really enjoy it too, because it's nice, quiet. It is quiet too, believe it or not, despite all the activity at Waiate, and it's just good to be part of the crew. You know, it's it's just neat to be part of something. And you know, I've always been part of it anyway, but you know, to bring the party in, great. You know,
well, it's not dissimilar to our radio station, eh? Remember, for years. Aotearoa Radio was paying rent to Pākehā landlords, and when it was reconstituted and became Waiate, of course, the first thing that you and John did, who had the licence, was to move the radio station onto the marae. A good move all those years ago, and it's great, like you say, it's a real privilege to work in such a vibrant environment with a school and all the social service delivery. So it's really just following the lead that you established all those years ago. So, hoki mai rā, good to have you here. If you ever want to catch up with Willie, his electorate office is at Waiate and contactable. Just come on down and knock on the door. Somebody will sort you out. Okay, mate, let's have a look at the situation. Well, firstly, with the Waitangi Tribunal, what do you make of the constant criticism of that entity? And where we're at in 2024 with the Tribunal, 50 years old now.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking to Tania about it. You know, she's a bit of a, you know, this is her history too. She's lectured on all of that. So we were just talking about it. But I can't talk about the details of this case, Dale.
Understood.
Because,
yeah, understood.
Yeah, because that's in front of the High Court, and that ruling is going to come out today. But I will say how proud I have been to have been the minister for the tribunal. When you're minister of Māori Affairs, Māori Development, you become the minister for the tribunal, and you become responsible for the appointments, and you work with the judge. You know, so it's just a huge privilege to. Have worked with the High Court judges over the years. That's been terrific, and to have appointed people like Foxy, I appointed Derek Fox, Professor David Williams, Kim Ngarimu, Hedewini Tukoha. These are people who've been made real impact in our communities, and work with them through the years. You see the impact, you see the influence on Māori communities and New Zealand life. You realise how incredibly important the tribunal is. I mean, 1975 that was introduced. You know, Matū Rata pushed it, and it's just been magnificent, Dale, in my view, in terms of influence on Māori and New Zealand life, given that it only has recommendation powers, yet look at the type of changes it's brought into society. You know, tribunal was investigated the impact of us not having our reo, you know, and then so you've seen the influence on the reo, and you've seen the influence that they've had in terms of Māori broadcasting, Māori health, Māori education. It's been huge. It's not just about treaty settlements. It's about the whole all the impacts of colonisation. These are the areas that the tribunal have investigated. So, in my view, the most important body or commission that Māori and this country's ever seen.
Tēnā koe, Willie. We're seeing a whole lot of legislation, including the return of three strikes, which was always a draconian piece of legislation, I thought, when it was first introduced. Now it's back. But you'd know more about the gang culture than any other MP in that joint, I'd suggest. Well, I know, because you've got mates from the mob and also Black Power guys who have been just part of the community you've grown up in. What are you making of this gang insignia legislation? Many saying it's obviously it's going to affect Māori more than anyone else. What's your position on it?
Oh, look, but I, in saying that, I can understand people's nervousness around gangs, you know, just because people like myself and a few others, I suppose, you know, who we work with, you know, we're not, just because we're uncomfortable around, we're not uncomfortable around these sort of guys. I can completely understand how people feel nervous when patch members come in who just got no brain sometimes and intimidate. So I'm not a person who'll say, oh, no big deal, they don't intimidate, just because they don't intimidate me, I don't presume that they don't intimidate anyone else, because I can see that they do. So I can see a lot of logic in terms of I can understand the mood, I should say. I mean, for goodness sake, we bar patches on the marae. So, you know, and we do that because, and you don't ever see patch members, very seldom will you see patch members coming on the marae, because, you know, you don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. However, you've got to ask yourself, is this really going to be is that the solution in terms of getting into the gang problem? And I don't think it is, because I think that we don't want our cops, we don't want to set the police up, you know. They don't want to be walking into Māngere Shopping Centre or wherever, or Tata Shopping Centre, you know, ripping off patches off gangs. I mean, they'll set themselves up, because there's so many, you know, the numbers are against them. So I don't think that's the solution. The solution has always been, and we've circled around it, getting in, investing in communities, investing in job programs, investing in urban authorities, Māori providers, iwi, so that we can get to the nub of the problem. And at different times through the years, different governments have been able to do that. I mean, why do you think Muldoon all those years back saw opportunity in terms of job skill programs? You know, we at Mooma, for instance, Dale, we were funding Black Power Whanewaka in them 30 years ago, you keep them busy, you keep them at work, you keep them, you don't just have them doing nothing. And just attacking them in terms of the patches, in my view, is a waste of time, waste of money. We've got to, you know, when we see gang members, we see their whānau. We've seen that at Wātea, we've seen that at Mooma, where we have had gang members' wives and kids be part of our school, be part of our marae. So, you know, we have to take a different approach. We've tried that in Labour. We will continue to try to do that in Labour. At the same time, it's a balance. You've always got a balance where you've got to hit these guys where it counts. So, you know, that might be in the guns area, in the car area. You know, we can't just be the goody-goody governments, but we should never walk away from our strategies in terms of supporting their whānau, supporting their families, and also always remembering, if we keep them busy, get them on job skills programs, get them energized, work with people like Dennis O'Reilly, that in the end, that's the only way that we can deal with things, particularly those who are Māori, Dale, because we can't just say, I'll just take the patches off them and that's it, because that's not it, because there's so much that goes on after that. So we know what this national government's up to. It's just about trying to look tough but do nothing afterwards.
Tēnā koe. Thanks very much, Willie. All the best for Anzac Day. Appreciate your time.
Same to you, Dale. Kia ora.
Thank you. Willie Jackson, at Wātea,